We not only celebrate the three kings at Christmas time who came from the east, but the many other events around the Christmas story. There's one verse in the Bible that seems to summarize the entire Christmas story, and that's in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. If you have it in your Bibles there, you may want to turn there with me. It simply says, "She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. I think of that chorus that we've sung a number of times. You may want to sing it with me. Emmanuel, Emmanuel, God with us, revealed in us. The truth of what we've just sung and what we've read from your word this morning, we ask that your Spirit would take the truth of this and apply it to our hearts for Jesus' sake. Amen. We know from the Old Testament that it was thousands of years that the people of God looked forward to their Messiah. They'd heard about him, the prophets had foretold his coming, and they with eager anticipation waited and waited and waited. It always seemed like it was too long. They thought maybe this year. But finally, the day came when God arrived. God actually showed up and arrived in human form on this earth, and that's what we celebrate at Christmas time. The eternal, majestic Creator God didn't just get the world going and then sit back, put his feet up, cross his arms, and let us spin on in confusion and anxiety and frustration. He came to be intricately involved with his creation. Can you imagine those lowly shepherds that first Christmas Eve? They must have been spellbound when the angels unzipped the heavens and let them see the glory and hear the message that God had arrived. What a wonderful message. Throughout the scriptures, whenever I read stories about God intervening in the affairs of men, when he, through angels or through prophets or through other ways, appeared and his glory filled the temple, or he would give special abilities to people to perform certain ministries or miracles. Whenever I read about those things, something inside of me just kind of rouses with desire. And I think, what would it have been like to have been there on that experience, or to have seen that, or to experience that? What would it be like to actually be somewhere when God arrived? Wouldn't it be awesome? Wouldn't it be wonderful? What happens when God comes? What if God walked in here this morning? What if God showed up in such a way that you and I were so obviously aware that he had arrived? What would change? What would it be like? Have you ever asked those questions? Have you ever wondered? Far more than you and I know happens when God actually arrives. I believe that as we look at the Christmas story and look at the lives of some of the people who are key players in this story, we will realize what happens in the life of individuals when God arrives. Because he did arrive, and let's see what happened in lives. And I think correspondingly we can ask the question, what will happen in our lives when God shows up and when God really arrives? First of all, let's look at the life of Joseph. As we examine Joseph's life, we see that when God arrived to him, there was perseverance that was the result in his life. Now you know the story, his girlfriend, the one he was engaged to, was pregnant, and it wasn't by him. Now he was a righteous man, he wasn't going to embarrass her at all, he just wanted out privately. He didn't want to go through the unnecessary ridicule and gossip. His reputation was at stake, and so he was just going to slip out the back, Jack. He was just going to get out quietly and not make any fuss. Have you ever wanted out? Have you ever been in a situation in your life where the pressure was just getting too much, the pain was too intense, the cost was too high, and you were going to cut your losses and just get out? Anybody? You ever wanted to get out of your circumstances? Well, three of you. All of us have been there at one time or another. We've all wanted out. Whether it's the marriage or the job or life itself or problems or pain, we just wanted to pack it in. I find it interesting when Joseph discovered that it was Emmanuel, although his circumstances didn't change, he did. When Joseph realized that it was Emmanuel who was coming, he received power to persevere. He discovered what we can today, that if God is with us, there will be a strength for us regardless of the difficulty. Some of you, let's face it, friends, are going through very, very difficult times right now. You've got a lot of pain in your life. There are circumstances that are overwhelming. Have you ever wondered, where in the world is God when everything hurts? Ever asked that question? Oh, sure, it's easy to sing His praise. It's easy to think nice thoughts of Him when everything is going well. But what about when life crumbles in around you? What about when the pain overwhelms you and you just feel like you're going to fall to pieces? Where is God then? Is He anywhere? Is He around? God knew He would ask that question. He wrote His answer in Isaiah 43, 2 and 3. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. And when you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior, and I am with you. In the midst of it. Does He take away the fire? Does He take away the storm? No, we often go right through the middle of it, but God says, in it, friends, I am with you. We, like Joseph, when we discover that Emmanuel, God, has arrived, regardless of your pain, it will give you a supernatural ability to persevere. From the Magi, we learn another lesson, that being one of priorities. There's a contagious disease going around the world. It's actually an epidemic, and it's even worse than AIDS. It's the epidemic of what I would call pretzeled priorities. We've got things in our life all twisted up. We seem to be going in all directions, full speed ahead. We don't operate our schedules operate us. Many of us are like the proverbial dog that's chasing its tail. You know, the man is the only creature who increases his speed when he's lost his way. I believe that underneath all the frantic activity, all underneath all the fast-paced busyness of so many of us, there is a deep down hidden desire to put it all in order, to get everything back the way it was supposed to be. Unfortunately, most of us don't know how. Find it interesting when I look at the life of the Magi, these guys were obviously very wealthy, influential men. They were very successful men, very busy men. Their schedules, I'm sure, were just as hot as ours. But they were also spiritually hungry men. They knew that man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. Perhaps they'd already read Jeremiah 29:13 that said, "If you seek me, you will find me when you search for me with all your heart." And so when they saw that miraculous display in the heavens, that star that proclaimed Messiah's birth, they had been looking, they had been searching, they had been longing. When they saw that announcement by God in the heavens, they dropped everything. No matter how important, how significant, how pressing the business was, they dropped it and took quite a lengthy excursion to make their way to Bethlehem to see this newborn king. I believe that when we realize there is an opportunity for us to actually discover Emmanuel, think of it, friends. You, in the midst of your busyness, in the midst of all the things that overwhelm you, there is an opportunity to discover the Almighty, Eternal, Creator, God with you. When you recognize that that's a possibility, you'll drop everything and make it your priority. In the life of Herod, we see another response, that being panic. Last week we looked at Matthew 2, the story of when the Magi did come from the east, they came to Herod and inquired, "Where is this king born of the Jews?" And Herod, you could almost feel the hair on the back of his neck stand up. "A Jew born in, or a king born in my kingdom?" Anyway, he sent them toward Bethlehem, and then got a little messy as we read the story, when later he sent his henchmen out and they went and killed all the baby boys under 2 years of age, trying to get this Messiah, this newborn king. Why? Why did he do it? Because his kingdom was being threatened. He killed all the babies because his authority was being threatened. His world was being threatened. And quite frankly, he was scared of God intervening in his life. You see, there's no room in small Palestine for two kings, Herod knew that well. He also knew that there's no room in a life for two kings. Herod knew that it's either me or it's him, but it's not both of us. I find it interesting how he couched his selfish heart. He told the wise men, he says, "When you find the Christ child, come and tell me so I also can go worship him." Oh, nice move, Herod. Put on your Christmas clothes. Put on your Christmas smile. Go to church. Dress it up, Herod. Doesn't work. How many of us are like Herod at Christmas time? We smile for Christmas. Oh, let me worship him. But deep inside, we're saying, "God, you better keep your distance. God, you better leave me alone. God, you better not interfere with my life. I'm the king here, not you. Don't get involved." Some of us deep down know that if we really let God have control with our lives, if we're proud, he will ask us to humble ourselves. If we're rich, he may ask us to sell all. If we're bitter inside, he will require us to forgive, because if we will not forgive, he will not forgive us. Quite frankly, it comes down to if we let God into our lives, into our kingdom, he may rearrange things. And therefore, we panic. In sharp contrast, we see the life of Mary, whose response was praise. Now, back then, virginity was a little more important than it is to a lot of females today. But virginity was very, very, very important to this young, righteous woman. And she knew that with the loss of her virginity was the loss of her reputation. She knew she would experience rejection from her people. She knew that she would lose possibly the love and the commitment of her fiancé, Joseph. And what was her response faced with those incredible odds? Well, if it was any old baby, I'm sure she would have been quite frustrated and mad. But when she realized that the baby in her womb was Emmanuel, was God with us, she said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he that is mighty has done great things, and glorious is his name." How did she respond? With true joy, with praise. She said, "Behold, the Lord's servant, be it unto me as you have said. I'm in your hands, Lord, do whatever you want." You see, friends, when Emmanuel enters a life, it doesn't matter how difficult the circumstances, it doesn't matter what you face on the outside, when God comes to reside in a human heart, there will be bubbling over a life full of joy and peace and life like you never dreamt. Praise will erupt. That's what happens when God comes. Finally, we see in the life of angels another response, and that is of peace. The angels, when they appeared to the shepherds, declared, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." You know as well as I do that today the world and in the individual, peace is highlighted by its absence. Lives are in tumult, inner agony, relational tension, there's financial pressure, there's family frustration. People are walking around with their guts in knots. They may look all perfect on the outside, but inside, we're all falling apart. The prophet said, "You shall call his name Wonderful, Counselor, the Prince of Peace." Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government, there will be no end. I'll never forget the time a couple of years ago, my former church, when a middle-aged man came to see me. He was one of those guys who was incredibly successful, had a couple businesses running, all the money he needed, big, posh house, couple cars, wife, two children, you name it, he had it. And this guy came into my office, and he'd been attending church for a while. He'd been attending church for about a year. And he came in and began to unfold his story and told me about the inner pain and turmoil he was going through. Inside, he was experiencing everything but peace. And as we talked and I shared with him basically what I'm sharing with you, who Jesus is, why he came to this earth, this man who seemed to have it all together at the end of our time simply bowed his head. He confessed his sin. He admitted that he was trying to run his life. He was calling the shots, and he realized he had the results of that. And as he just laid his life out before the Lord and asked Jesus to come into his life, asked Emmanuel, God with us, to be in him. I'll never forget after he prayed. He lifted up his eyes, and I wish I could draw or tell you what his eyes were like, but he said to me, his first words were, Dave, the burden is gone. Friends, I have seen that so many times as people who have opened their lives up and let Emmanuel be there. Let God come. I have watched as the burdens have rolled off. As the circumstances, even though they may not have changed, the peace that flooded into their soul made them rich with joy. He's the Prince of Peace. He hasn't changed. You see, when God comes, when God truly comes to people's lives, there will be perseverance. There will be a reprioritizing. There will be praise. And there will be peace. Do you want God to come? Do you really want God to come to your life? To your marriage? To your family? To your church? To your circumstances? Do you want God to come? Or are you like Herod, panicking because if he does come, he might alter your world? The choice is yours, friends. But the Bible says God willingly and joyfully comes to all who will receive him. In Revelation chapter 3:20, the scripture says of Jesus, Behold, I stand at the door and I knock. If any man hears my voice, and opens the door, I will come in, not to the church building, not to the house, I will come into him and fellowship with him, and he with me. Jesus Christ still is Emmanuel. He still willingly, freely, joyfully comes to all who will receive him. I learned a chorus a number of years ago. I've heard us sing it around here a couple times. Maybe we can sing it again. Into my heart, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today, come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. You may sing this, having sung it many times, or this morning it may be your first time when you're opening that door of your heart and saying, Lord, I really would like God to come to me. Whether it's your first or whether it's your 100th time, let's open the doors of our heart to him this morning and invite Emmanuel, God with us, to come.